Joshua 1. And we're just going to read the first 5 verses. Joshua 1 through 5. Now, after, not before, but after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Deacon Joshua, The Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' ministry, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Can't be. Moses is my inspiration. It's my leader. That, how am I going to do my job if Moses not here to do his job? Moses is dead. Now, therefore, arise. But you just said Moses is dead. This is where I go wallow in my sorrow, because I'm grieving right now. But God said, therefore, arise. Go to church Sunday morning. Stand on your post. But my wife, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Here it is. As I was with Moses. As I was with Moses. Come on, do begin and get this. As I was with Sister Johnson. So I will be with thee. He could have stopped there. I will. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I will. Come on, say it with me, family. I will not leave you nor forsake you. You believe it? If you believe it, say amen. You may be seated. I will. Today, family, we're focusing on the same but different. Being the same but different. Now, that's an oxymoron all by itself. To be the same is to be like something or someone. And being different is to be unique. God in this text is speaking to Joshua, who is the protege of Moses. And God says something absolutely amazing to Joshua. He tells him, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Now, that's something to shout about, family, because God did some amazing stuff through Moses. God did some real fancy stuff with Moses. God showed up and showed out with Moses. See, I like to have been Moses. See, not the killing the Egyptian and all that and running, not that part, but just at the Red Sea Moses. I would have liked to have been the Red Sea Moses. You know, you just throw your staff out there in front of your congregation and everybody's looking at you and the wind is blowing your suit jacket. And all of a sudden, the Red Sea just opens up. And you got your staff in the air. And God does all of this public fancy stuff through you. Man, that'd be cool. That'd be real cool. Especially considering the fact that Moses' congregation was mad at him at that moment. Because he had called them out of the familiar into the unfamiliar. And whenever you challenge people to come out of the familiar into the unfamiliar, they ain't all that nice about it. They were saying stuff like, why you bring us out here? And all that kind of stuff, you know. If we were going to die, we could have died back in Egypt, Moses. You could have just left us there. And Moses said, be quiet. And he holds up his rod. And the wind blows. And the sea parts. Yeah. I would like to have been that Moses right there in that moment. See, Moses got to go down to see the president of Egypt. And his magicians. And he threw his staff down and his staff ate their serpents, which was kind of crazy because it's a staff. But right before that happened, God had a conversation with Moses and Moses says, who should I tell them sent me? And he said, well, tell them I am. And I know Moses had to be thinking, I am what? I am who? He just left it blank. I am. And, you know, and God was saying, I am whatever it is you need me to be. So when he threw his staff down, Moses said, right now, I need you to be a serpent eating staff, a serpent eating God. Can you do that? God said, yeah, I could do that. Just throw your staff down. Show you who I am. Right now, I'm a serpent eating God. Moses was a bad man. Moses was a bad man. And God says to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Oh, that's good news. That's good news. I don't know if I should tell this story. It's almost embarrassing. I have this cousin. His name is Jeffrey Richardson. Now, Jeffrey looks like Shamar Moore. Okay. Everybody, I don't think a woman has ever seen Jeffrey and not fell in love with him. Right. So when I was a kid, about 9 or 10, Jeffrey would come through the neighborhood and Jeffrey had the car. He had the looks. He had a couple of dollars. Everybody loved Jeffrey. And this is my cousin. So he would come pick up my brother and they would hang out. Sometimes they would let me tag along. Sometimes they wouldn't. And there was this girl at the end of the block named Vivian. Vivian had green eyes. Vivian was beautiful. Vivian was my friend, big sister. And just like all the boys in the neighborhood, I had a crush on Vivian. So one day when my cousin was over, Vivian decides she wants to come outside because she knows that when Jeffrey sees her, he's going to come talk to her. So Vivian comes out and Jeffrey don't disappoint. And I go down there. And when my cousin leaves, Vivian looks at me and says, Al, when you grow up, you're going to look just like Jeffrey. I swear to y'all, I ran in the home and for about a year, I'm looking in the mirror trying to see when this transformation was going to take place. It never happened. It never happened. But when I was studying for this and God told Joshua, I'm going to be with you the way I was with Moses. I imagine Moses running back in the mirror like, okay, God, when is it going to take place? Joshua, thank you for the correction. I love a well-studied church. Can't just tell y'all none. See, because it's good news that I'm going to be like Moses and you're going to be with me like you was with Moses. But Joshua never ever smote one rock and it brought forth water. Joshua, when he got down to the Jordan River, he threw his rod out and the Jordan River just looked at him like, what that supposed to mean? Yeah. Who you think you are, Moses? Nothing happened. He had to go down into the water and he threw it out again and nothing changed. He had to go a little bit deeper into the water and then they felt a little rumbling. His predecessor never even got his feet wet. But when Joshua got ready to fulfill his destiny with his mighty charge in his hand, what worked for Moses didn't work for Joshua. Joshua had to step down into the water. Can you imagine the whole congregation looking at you and you throw out your rod and you say, God is with me. Like he was with Moses. And nothing happens. And you throw your rod out again. God is with me, like he was with Moses. And nothing happens. Maybe I just need to hit it a little bit. Staff is, oh, God is with me. Maybe if I blow on it, like a Nintendo cartridge. God is with me. You're like, wait a minute, congregation. Maybe if I just step down a little bit more into the water, it's going to part in a minute, y'all. Just stay with me. Come on. We're going to get out of debt in a minute, y'all. Don't be scared. Just stay with me. We're going to own our own house in a minute, y'all. Don't be scared. Just stay with me. We're going to raise our family in a minute, y'all. Don't be scared. Just stay with me. We're going to come out of this in a minute, y'all. Don't be scared. Just stay with me. Because people are quick to leave you when things aren't going the way that you said they should be going. And the water all the way up to his knees. And you're still going, still walking in the water. And then all of a sudden, the water starts to rumble. And the water starts to move back out of their way. And he said, oh, it does work. It does work. Okay, come on, y'all. It's the same thing, but different. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I will be with you the same way I was with Moses, but you are not Moses. You are not who inspired you. You are not who trained you. God is going to be with you as he was with Moses, but you are not Moses. So you have to discover your own uniqueness to accomplish your purpose, or you will step in the water and it doesn't move. And you will say, it didn't work for me. And God is still with you, but God and you don't have the same coalition that God and Moses did. So you have to be willing to be the same, but different. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. But I would not do with you what I did with Moses. But I will be with you. Can you recognize God being with you to the same degree, but creating a different experience? God does not do encores. Everything God does is a designer's original. So while you want to be mentored and you want to be developed by people, you don't want to imitate them, because God says, I will be with you like I was with them, but you got to be yourself, because if I wanted Moses, I could have kept Moses. You're a new generation and a new expression of an old idea. If I wanted the old idea, I could have kept the old idea. If I wanted to refresh it, but I want you to refresh it. I want you to hit the reset button. But don't expect the same old pop-ups that I did for your daddy. Because I've been there and I've done that, and God is finished with that. This is not your father's Oldsmobile. It's the same, but it's different. I was talking to Sister Williams the other day, and we was talking about our presence on social media. And she says, well, you know, with our congregation, we not, you know, they're really not getting out, knocking on no doors. We're not in that position. And I agree, you're absolutely right. So we have to still witness. That's the same thing. We just have to do it differently. Still need you to witness. But you don't have to go door to door. You don't have to talk to the person at the grocery store behind you in line. You ain't got to talk to the man at the gas station. Just hit send. It's the same thing, just different. So the question is, what do we keep and what do we let go of? See, we keep the promise of his presence, but you have to be willing to let go of what you had in mind, because God didn't promise to do what you have in mind. In fact, God said, I would do a new thing in you, for the former things are passed away. Moses, my servant, is dead. The former things I did with him are dead. When I made Moses, I made Moses. When I called Moses, I called Moses. When I used Moses, I used Moses. Be who I created you to be. Do the same thing, just do it different. The goal for every church is to grow. I don't care if you got 50,000 members, the goal is still to grow it. And that new beginning, it's no different. The promise is not a duplicate copy. It is a unique promise built on an old presence. The only thing that will be the same is, as I was with, so shall I be with. Like I was with the one who inspired you, but you will not be them. But I will be with you like I was with them. The promise is, I will be with you. The promise is, he will be with you. Throughout the chapter, over and over again, God says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. I noticed another thing, Dick, when I was studying for this, I was thinking about you. I stopped at verse 5, but in verse 6, it says, be of good courage and courageous. And then in verse 7, it says, I'm sorry, be of good strength and courageous. And then in verse 7, it says, only be of good strength and courageous. And then if you read the whole chapter, read all the way down to the very last verse, the last sentence says, be of good strength and courageous. This is what God is telling Joshua after he told him, I will be with you. But even though I'm still with you, I still need you to do your part and be strong and courageous. Because there's going to come a time where you're going to feel weak. You're going to feel like you ain't got nobody to talk to but God. You're going to want to crawl up in a corner and cry. But God is saying, be strong. He's not saying don't cry. He's just saying, be strong. Show up at your post. Do what's required and expected of you to do. Handle your responsibilities. Be strong and courageous. And just know I will be with you. Throughout the chapter, over and over again, God says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. I would not leave you nor would I forsake you. I will not leave you means you won't be out there by yourself. But in English, when we read it, it would not, I would not leave you nor forsake you. It's a little bit confusing to us because if you think when you read, leaving and forsaking is the same thing. It's the same thing. If you left me, then you forsake me. I'm leaving you. I forsook you. It's the same thing. So your question to me is, so why did God say I would not leave you nor would I forsake you? Good question. Because when you study it out, to leave someone is to remove your presence from them. But to forsake someone is to emotionally abandon them. You can forsake someone that you didn't leave. Now, that's a whole nother sermon. You can emotionally abandon someone that you still come home to. There's some married people in here who know what I'm talking about. God says, when I get ready to get something done, I don't leave it, nor do I forsake it. I don't leave it. I don't withdraw my presence from it, nor do I withdraw my emotions from it. My physical presence is there, and it's followed up by my emotional attention that's also there. So when God wants to see something succeed, he doesn't leave it, nor does he forsake it. He said, I would not leave you, nor will I forsake you. I will not emotionally abandon you just because I'm disappointed in you. It's the same thing, but different. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. But don't play Moses. Joshua, do you. And if you do you, then I'll do me. And together, we'll walk through this life and the promise I give you, no matter where your feet trots, no matter where you walk or where you go, uphill or down in the valley, abase or abound, for richer or for poor, for in sickness and in health, I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you. People might leave you, friends might leave you, opportunities might leave you, but God said, I will be with you every step of the way. I will be with you. I was with you when you was 8. I'll be with you when you're 80. I was with you when you were 7. I'll be with you when you were 70. I was with you in your mama's belly. Before I formed thee, I knew thee. I ordained thee. I sanctified thee to be a prophet unto the nations. You couldn't have been born by yourself. I poured you out of your mama's womb, and I will pour you out of this storm. I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you. David said it like this. I was young, but now I'm old. But I have never seen the righteous forsake you. Or his seed begging for bread. God was consistent when I was young. And David is saying, God is consistent now that I'm old. I will be with you every step of the way. I will be with you no matter where you step. You can't go to a place that I won't go with you. You visit the crack house, I'm right there with you. You visit the bunny ranch in Vegas, I'm right there with you. I will not leave you, nor will I. God says, I don't have a line in the sand that you can't cross that I'm going to stand behind. I'm crossing with you because I got to make sure you get back. If you clap your hands, I'm in that clap. If you stomp your feet, I'm in that stomp. So the promise centers around his presence. That's the promise. That's the promise. I don't care what the mother preachers say. The promise is not give them some money and God gonna give you a new Mercedes. That is not the promise. Would be nice, but it's not. The promise is I will never remove my presence from you. That's the promise. My presence will be with you every step of the way. My presence is your promise, not a car, not a mansion, not $1 million. My presence is your promise, but my promise does not avoid the process. We're talking presence and we're talking process. My presence is with you, Deep. But you still got to go through this wilderness. My presence is with you, but you still got to go through the process. My presence is with you, but I still have to train you. I have to develop you. I have to whittle down all the things off of you that's not relevant to your destiny. I put you in the process to prune you. I put you in a process so that you could come through what is necessary to be tough enough to stand where I'm taking you. The process makes you faithful. The process makes you tenacious. The process prunes your heart. It purges your sensibility. It burns out all the things, all the wrong motives that you had when you started. God said, I would take you through the wilderness until everything not of faith dies in that wilderness. That's why they were in the wilderness for 40 years, because they didn't believe they could have the promised land. God said, well, then you can have this land until you do believe. I'm going to take you through the wilderness until you change your mind, until you come forth as pure gold. The wilderness is designed to kill the unbelief in you, to purge your motive, to prepare your heart and mind. Is there anybody in here who is in a process? I'm in the process, but his presence is in the process with me. Lord, the Hebrew boy said, Father, they just threw me in a fiery furnace. He said, I'm in here with you. And if they throw you in the water, I'll be in there with you. And when you go through the flood, I'll be there with you. It will not overtake you. God's presence is with you in the process. God's presence is with you during chemo. Most people don't recognize that. They only recognize God's presence after he's brought them out. But God says, I'm with you during the slow, mundane, routine, ordinary days. You're going to have more ordinary days than you do spectacular days. And God says, I'm going to be with you. Because we only like to talk about when he brings us out of stuff. But normally you're in it longer than you're out of it. Because the process is an accumulation of boring days of things that will not move. Things that are not changed, things that don't seem to be getting better. Process is routine. It's boring. It's go to work and come home. Lay out what you're going to wear tomorrow. Got to get up and go to work again. Go to the doctor, get poked, wait on the test results. The test results are in. Go back to the doctor, do some more tests. Come back home, wait on some more test results. Bye, honey. I'm going to work. Don't forget to pick up the milk. The lunch money for the kids is on the table. Kiss the kids. Did you do your homework? Don't lie to me. I'll call your teacher and check. Don't forget to pay the light bill. I already did. It's the process. It's going around and around and around, preaching in a church that's not growing, teaching Bible study and won't nobody come. You spent the last 10 years begging people to support your business. And if anybody showed up, you considered yourself a success. The devil said, quit. You can't do this. You can't do that. You ain't never going to be anything. Nobody cared about you, but you kept on going and you kept on working. Your spouse died and you stayed dedicated. You got diagnosed with cancer and you stayed committed and you got better and better and better. And all of a sudden it started working and things started started happening and things started coming to pass and people started noticing and started recognizing and you got the attention of your community, if you keep on doing what the Lord has called you to do, if you stick with it and don't leave it and you don't forsake it, God will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive. It's called the process, and you're in the process right now. New beginning is in a process. We're in the process of growing. You're in the process of parenting. You're in the process of being a husband. You're in the process of being a wife. You're in the process of higher education. You're in the process of starting a business. You're in the process of building a career. So don't count me out and don't play me cheap just because I'm in a process. Something is going to happen in my life because I am in a process, and he will do the same for me that he did for others. He might not do it the same way. He might not do it in the same time, but it's the same God. It's just a different process. In the beginning, I said all that to say, it's the same, but different. Doors of the church is open.